Amen. If you can kneel, please do so. We will start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this beautiful Sabbath day that you have given us. Thank you for keeping us all safe throughout the week so that we can gather on this Sabbath to worship you, to learn of you, to grow in faith, and to be blessed in communion, as we're going to be doing after this study. Thank you for blessing everybody on the prayer list, all those that are in attendance, and all those that are doing the work all around the world. We also thank you for answered prayer and blessing those that have come against us with repentance. And thank you for blessing us with your presence throughout this gathering and letting the showbread be changed once again on Sabbath day. And we lift this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who's our Savior and our King, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okay. All right. We left off last week at question number 16. And if you're new, right above the chat room where it says the Seventh-day Remnant Church welcomes you, it's Sabbath study notes. You click that. It'll bring you down a little bit underneath the chat room. You'll still be in the chat room, of course. And then just scroll to question 16. Okay, and I want to welcome the new people. We do have some new families with us this week. And thank you for stopping by. Hope and pray that you're blessed with the rest of us. Okay, question number 16. It is, Daniel beheld, and the same horn did what? And we discussed somewhat of this horn previously in question 15, 14, and 13, and all these previous ones. So Daniel chapter 7, verse 21 says, I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now, this one passage places the nail in the coffin that is filled with prophetic facts exposing the Roman Catholic popes as being the ones prophecy declares will attack the truth as it is found in Scripture and even go forth to kill the Christians that proclaim it. And you can even see this now that the mortal wound has been healed. I did a video on this a few weeks ago, months ago. Now that the wound is healed, we see all sorts of evidence that if you're a Christian, a real Christian in today's world, you are hated with a passion. And then while they hate you, they claim we hate them. But this has always been the case. When you try to help someone see that they're in danger, and when it comes to spiritual danger, they don't like hearing that stuff, especially in regards to trying to reveal to them that their lifestyles are dangerous, and there's all different types of lifestyles, and so some people are pretty well set in their ways and they don't like anyone rocking the boat, and so they get angry. Still, the historic record has somewhat of a mixture of different totals on the amount of Christians that were killed by the popes of Rome, but they do all agree on one thing. It was the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church that did in fact kill the Christians. And Pope John Paul II, the Vatican's favorite pope of the day, even though he's been dead since 05, he admitted in the Mea Culpa on March 12, 2000, that the Roman Catholic Church did in fact kill those Christians. Now, the only reason I did a radio thing on it and a newsletter on it is because it was something we expected. He was going to apologize. Main reason, now we didn't know, of course, when students of prophecy study this stuff decades prior, especially before the internet came, no one really understood the reasoning behind the apology, but it was obvious what the political reasoning would be. And we kind of got a hint at that during the Vatican II Council with their ecumenical charge that they were planning. So But the main issue that we saw, especially when it went down in the year 2000, was the fact that the internet, was becoming very, very popular at that time. It was just starting out, of course. But it was popular to such an extent that now they had internet cafes starting to pop up all over the world, especially in third world countries where people couldn't even afford a computer, let alone, well, they didn't have smartphones so much back then, but still. My point is that some guy on the street who's never had a computer in his life before, and he lives in, say, you know, like, say, the Philippines or something, where the overwhelming majority in that nation is Roman Catholic, they step into a internet cafe, and they just type a few words into a search engine, which at that time was, there was only two that were really, really popular, and that was Yahoo and Google. And they would eventually find out, you know, from the millions of websites that were already out there, mine was one of them at that time, where we were exposing the Roman Catholic Church with historic documentation that they did, in fact, kill all those Christians. So the Pope had to do an apology. He had to get it out there so as to quench the exodus, try to slow the exodus from Rome. And, it worked to some extent. People are still leaving the Roman Catholic Church in droves, but when they leave and they step into another church, like a Baptist church or a Methodist church or even an SDA church, you're still going right back into Rome anyway. So, and this was one of the main reasons for the ecumenical statements that were made during Vatican II, because they knew the church was going to lose popularity to some extent until they can get the sin to such an extent where it was so acceptable to do everything, to embrace every lifestyle on earth, there was going to be a downtime. But if everybody's under one roof with the one world church, then they're, not going to have an issue. But the Pope is going to have to make an apology because no one's going to want anything to do with him. But now that he's made the apology, it confirmed everything that the Students of Prophecies have been stating for decades or eons. But that doesn't seem to matter. All the people saw was the apology, even though it wasn't sincere at all, because he still called us heretics during the apology. In other words, if you're not a Catholic, you're still a heretic, according to them. So now I do have dozens of quotes on my Words of a Beast page that are, for the most part, from Vatican authors confirming they did kill Christians. In fact, many of the quotes are done so in a boasting manner by Rome, just as Islam does today. They are the true terrorists. The Vatican is the true terrorists. And this is another reason the Vatican had to make the apology, because the internet was out there. People were posting, and my Words of the Beast page was one of the first pages I had on my site. And this is one of the reasons I was approached back then in the infancy of the website, and they offered an unbelievable amount of money for me to shut down what they called my useless ministry. But this is one of the quotes, and this is from Wiley's book, chapter 1. I don't understand why they have a B here and all this other stuff. It could be page 1 or page 16 or whatever. But it says, when speaking of the Christians that refused to bow to the Vatican doctrine, the Pope ordered, and I quote, that malicious and abominable sects of malignants, that if they refuse to abjure or renounce Christ, they are to be crushed like venomous snakes. Right? And then when speaking of those that killed Christians for the popes, it was recorded that Rome absolved them from all ecclesiastical pains and penalties, general and particular. It released all who joined the crusade from any oaths they might have taken. It legitimized their title to any property they might have illegally acquired. In other words, they killed the Christians and took their homes or their property, and promised remission of all their sins to such as should kill any heretic. It annulled all contracts made in favor of Vaudis, ordered their domestics to abandon them, forbade all persons to give them any aid whatever, and empowered all persons to take possession of their property. That's, again, from the same book. It's just Ibid, if you will. Now, a lot of people think that this is barbaric and this is crazy, but this didn't happen that long ago. And they're killing Christians now in Catholic nations like Mexico. They just did it again a few months ago. during their posh season, where they actually make a, it's kind of like a bathtub gin, but it's not gin. It's an alcoholic drink that they make, and then people and tourists come around and buy it, and it helps the community. Well, there's always some Catholics that start actually reading Bibles, and then they leave the Catholic Church, and then they decide not to take part in these sickening, it's just all debauchery. Everybody gets drunk, and you know what happens when you get drunk. And so they didn't want any part of it, and so they would actually burn their homes, burn their livestock, stone them. And I mean, a few years ago, I did a radio thing on this where they actually killed a guy and then burned his body after he was dead. And they scared these people so much that when the authorities, and this wasn't just the drunken people in the neighborhood, their so-called police force were actually dragging people into jails and, you know, threatening to kill them and burn them alive. And I remember this one little old lady who decided to rejoin with the Catholic Church. And this is one of the reasons the Catholic Church has 1.2 billion people in it. It's not because they all believe, Catholicism is the true faith. That's far from the truth. The overwhelming, it got to be at least 85 to 90% of Roman Catholics are born Roman Catholic. They're not evangelized in. They're not converted to Catholicism, unless, of course, they're in politics like, who was it? Jeb Bush recently converted to Catholicism. Tony Blair and a couple other politicians, when they converted, they were given these amazing political blessings, power and whatnot. But anyway, the majority of the people that are born into Catholicism don't seem to realize the only reason that they're Roman Catholic is because their ancestors were extremely fearful of being burned alive, buried alive, drawn and quartered, skinned alive. And, the list just goes on. If you've ever read the Fox's Book of Martyrs, you're a better man than I, because I couldn't get through it. it's just too disgusting. It brings too many tears to the eyes. It's just too difficult to read. But that man recorded many, many methods by which Rome tortured and killed people. And so the people that they didn't torture and kill are the ones that decided to worship the Pope. Even though they didn't call it that, they says you're worshiping Jesus and all this other stuff. But it was like the prophecy said, it was another Jesus that was being preached, and the people were fearful. But anyway, this next one here is from The Papacy and the Civil Power, written by Thompson, and it says, there was no village of the Vaduz Valleys, but had its martyrs. The Waldenese were burned. They were cast into damp, horrid dungeons. And by the way, the Waldenese are now keeping Sunday holy today. They were smothered in crowds in mountain caverns, mothers and babes and old men and women together. They were sent out into exile into winter nights, unclothed and unfed, to climb the snowy mountains. They were hurled over the rocks. Their houses and their lands were taken from them. Their children were stolen to be indoctrinated or brainwashed with the religion which they had abhorred. See, Rome's infamous for doing that. A lot of the Jews that were killed by Hitler, their babies were raised Roman Catholic. And today, to this day, they're alive, and they think that they're, they were always supposed to be Roman Catholic. And it goes on to say that rapacious individuals were sent among them to strip them of their property, to persecute and exterminate them. Thousands of heretics or Waldenese, old men, women, and children were hung, quartered, broken upon the wheel, or burned alive, and their property confiscated for the benefit of the king and the Holy See. Now, see, this is another reason for the apology. Right there it says the Holy See, and that's what they call the Vatican, the Holy See. And that's S-E-E. In other words, we have our eyes on you everywhere. If you look on the back of the American dollar bill, you got the triangle with the eye in. That's the eye of Horus. For those of us that used to dabble in the occult before we met Christ, he claims to be able to see everything. And that's only because of the demons that he has all out, all over the place. And so he flaunts his abilities via mankind. And that, of course, is the Vatican. All right, this next one is from Cardinal Bellarmine's book, and he's considered to be the famous champion of Romanism, and that's the title of the book, and it was written by Schumacher, and this is on page 76. And he says, experience teaches that that there is no other remedy for the evil but to put heretics, or Protestants, to death. For the Romish Church proceeded gradually and tried every remedy, at first merely excommunicating them. Afterwards, she added a fine, and then she banished them, and finally she was constrained to put them to death. Well, the word of God says, they shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think they doeth God a service. And these things they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Jesus said that in John 16, verses 2 and 3. So, and as I stated a moment ago, on March 12, 2000, in his globally broadcast Mea Culpa, John Paul II admitted the Roman Catholic Church killed the believers during the Inquisitions, and he stated that the church thought they were doing God a service. These are his words. He's almost echoing exactly what Jesus said they would say in John 16. So anyone that reads and believes the Bible knows not, you know, that the popes of Rome do not, they know that they don't know the Father or Jesus. To deny that is to deny the very words of Jesus Christ. And so this one here is, this quote is from page 16 of Brief Bible Readings of the Home, and this is a an early Seventh-day Adventist booklet. It's an excellent Bible study booklet from the early SDA Church. However, be careful, there's a second edition out that looks to emulate this one, but in fact it doctors certain doctrines. And in fact, and I do expose on one of the pages or one of the newsletters on my website, I can't remember exactly which one it is, but there is in the old book the actual nature of Christ, and in the new book it looks like a Vatican version of the nature of Christ. And so they've already infiltrated this book, but get the oldest one you can get your hands on. Anyway, this is what they say. It says, for professing faith contrary to the teachings of the Church of Rome, history records the martyrdom of more than 100 million people. Now, a lot of people think that's a lot, and a lot of people think that's insane. And I've had Roman Catholics say, well, there wasn't 100 million people on the planet at any one given year. I says, yeah, well, irregardless if that's true or not, this happened during a period of 1,260 years. Plus, the total is actually 500 million. And you can get that Fox's Book of Martyrs is where I got that total. But anyway, it goes on. It says, a million Waldenese and Albigenese, which is the Swiss and the French Protestants, they perished during a crusade proclaimed by Pope Innocent III in 1208. You notice the names these popes use, well, like he's innocent. And beginning from the establishment of the Jesuits in 1540 to 1580, 900,000 were destroyed. 150,000 perished by the Inquisition in 30 years. Within the space of 38 years after the Edict of Charles V against the Protestants, 50,000 persons were hanged, beheaded, or burned alive for heresy, and 18,000 more perished during the administration of the Duke of Alva in 5.5 years. And these are just, you know, a slight little smatterings of documentations, because a lot of this stuff was done under the table. I mean, this is where the invention of the dungeon came up. Look what happened in Canada recently. The Roman Catholic Church got exposed about a decade or two ago. I did some radio stuff on this too back in the day. But recently, the last few years, it's been getting hot and heavy in the press in regards to what went down in some of these orphanages in Canada. And the overwhelming majority of the people in the area, and it was kind of like these orphanages were kind of like they were trying to emulate Boys Town, and Boys Town was bad enough. It was just one big pedophile ring. But the thing here is with what went down in Canada is they're just now starting to dig up mass graves of children that were killed by these nuns and the priests, but it was mostly the nuns killing them. And so a lot of this stuff is done in dungeons, and it didn't make it into the press. And this is where Fox's Book of Martyr comes in handy, because he goes by eyewitness testimonies and puts a lot of quotes and statements from loved ones who watched their loved ones tortured to death. One in particular is very difficult to read in regards to how the wife and the children of a man had a watch while they killed the man by using a pair of pliers on his head. And that's as far as I'm going to describe it, because it's not easy to because I know there's little kids listening. All right, this next one is a Catholic publication. It's called The Western Watchman, November 21st, 1912. Okay, and this is even before 1929. So this is, they're already starting to flex their muscles knowing what they're doing politically. But it says on August 24th, 1527, Roman Catholics in France, by prearranged plan under Jesuit influence, murdered 70,000 Protestants within the space of 2 months. So do the math. Okay, no, for some reason my calculator ain't working again. I got to reboot the system, so I'm not going to mess with it. But if you do the math, it's because I did the math a while ago in regards to how many Christians are being killed right now by Muslims. About 35,000 a month. So that's about 1,000 a day. A little more than 1,000 a day. And how many are dying? Well, there's a Christian dying every 2 minutes now at the hand of Muslims alone. So. Oh, yeah. Well, it looks like I did do the math here. If I just scroll down, it says, doing the math to kill 70,000 Christians who refused to bow to Rome in the space of two months equates to 420,000 dead each year. Well, at present, the Vatican's killing 200,000 a year all around the world. One every 2 minutes is being killed. And so they haven't even reached the position, well, that we know of. I mean, the reason I share that quote from the Western Washington is because many claim that the Catholic Church never killed 500 million people, as Fox's Book of Martyrs claims. But doing the math shows they could have easily done so. When we look at the 1,260-year prophecy, we are, which we're going to get into in the next question, by the way, of the study, we see by doing the math that 500 million people divided by 1,260 years only equates to 396,825,397 people martyred each year. Rome's already admitted in 1527 that 70,000 died in 2 months. So 500 million is pretty accurate. So we must also keep in mind that when the Pope praised them for killing those Christians, he was only speaking of one area in France that happened to be doing a good job for Rome at that time. He didn't mention all the other ones because the slaughter in all the other nations, they were still going on as prophecy states, but it just so happened the Pope was pleased with the extra effort put forth in France by the Jesuits on that particular day. And so when you please the Pope in those days, it made people say, well, okay, if this makes them happy, let's just go a little bit further with it, right? Now, again, this is only in the space of 2 months by the Jesuits in one area. It's not counting all the other people that were being killed all around the world at the same exact time. So a lot more than 70,000 were killed in those 2 months. It just so happens that the Jesuits kicked it up a notch at that one point. And now look what the Western Watchman says in 1908. On December 24th, their Christmas Eve. Okay, we don't do Christmas, for those of you that are new. And there's a page on my website all about why we don't do Christmas. Absolutely every aspect of Christmas is pagan, and it has nothing to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. He was not even born in winter, but somebody was. And you'll be shocked when you find out who it was that was actually born on December 25th. So anyway, this is what they say. This is what the Catholic Church said in the Western Watchman. It says, the Catholic Church has persecuted. When she thinks it is good to use physical force, she will use it. Will the Catholic Church give bond that she will not persecute? The Catholic Church gives no bonds for her good behavior. So they're not going to have any issues with this at all. They're going to continue on thinking it's good behavior. And this is another reason for the apology. In modern day, this barbaric type of attitude is frowned upon, especially with the political correctness of terrorism. You know, so now the Pope's out there saying, oh, stop the wars, stop this, stop that. He's the one that's starting all the wars. But he's got to have that front. He's got to make himself look like the moral authority on earth. Right, this next one here is from the Catholic Church, the Renaissance and Protestantism, on page 182 and 83. And it says, the rector of the Catholic Institute of Paris, H.M.A. revealed the attitude of the Church and her leaders toward persecution. When confronted with heresy, he said, she does not content herself with persuasion. Arguments of an intellectual and moral order appear to her insufficient. In other words, you could be a theologian. I mean, no, strike that. Theologians today are corrupted. You could be a child of God who understands Scripture from Genesis to Revelation to the point that the Holy Spirit does as promised in John 14:26, and you can go forth and you can explain in graphic detail how much they're mistaken regarding Catholicism and how evil their actions are, but arguments of an intellectual and moral order appear to the Vatican as insufficient, is what they're saying here. And then they said, and she has recourse to force, to corporal punishment, and to torture. Because that's where torture began. I have a newsletter called Rome, Fingerprints of Rome, torture is fingerprints of Rome. In other words, wherever you see torture, it's always first done by Rome. And this is why after, you know, the Washington, D.C. was completely taken over. I mean, our architecture shows that from the infancy of the court systems in the United States of America, Rome already had their foot in the door. Go to any courtroom, it looks like a Roman Colosseum, more or less. They're all Roman architecture. But it wasn't until Reagan's second term that they had absolute control over our nation. And around that time is when torture started becoming the norm with soldiers, and particularly colonels and generals. But it wasn't really made apparent up until that false flag on September 11th. And so, anyway. Now, the following collection of quotes, and I'll try to get through this quickly, are cited by the American Textbook of Popery, which in turn quotes from the Directory of the Inquisitors. All right. And there's quite a few here. Let me just... Okay, no, there's not. Okay, I'm almost done. Good. I thought I was going to keep going, but it's kind of... I should highlight where my notes end. All right, and this first one here is from page... I'm just going to give page numbers, like 148 and 169. This is, again, from the American Textbook of Popery. And it says, "He is a heretic who does not believe what Roman hierarchy teaches. A heretic merits the pains of fire." Okay. And then this next one was actually a quote on page 135 by Pope Alexander IV. He said, "All sects of heretics," in other words, if you're not a Catholic, you're a heretic. So all sects, that's S-E-C-T-S, all, I guess that's short for sections. but it's a weird Latin term, but it does mean like factions, if you will. But they say all sects of heretics are condemned and various punishments are appointed for them and their accomplices. This next one was on page 106 of the same book by Pope Urban IV. And he said statutes that impede the execution of the duties which appertain to the office of the inquisitors are null and void. In other words, you live in a city or a country or even a state that has yet to have been approached by Vatican officials, prelates, or even guys like Tetzel, and who was selling indulgences during Luther's time. It didn't matter what the statutes or the laws or the ordinances of your particular area was, whether it's a state or what do they call them in Canada? You know, they got these different areas that political names or political areas. Province. Thank you, Scott. All right. So regardless, whatever your statutes were for that area, it didn't matter. The office of the inquisitors, if they walked in, their rule was above any rule or law that you had, is what they're saying there. And that's the Pope saying it. And then Pope Alexander IV on page 104 said, "They who bury persons knowing them to be excommunicated or their receivers, defenders, or favorers shall not be absolved unless they dig up the corpse and the place shall be deprived of the usual immunities of sepulchre." And which means is, and they still did this today until the 1960s and 70s, because I remember some woman, her husband cheated on her, and this is, I think I was like 10, and they were Roman Catholic, and the husband cheated on her, and she committed suicide. Or no, I think it was the other way around. She cheated on him, and he committed suicide. It doesn't matter. One of them committed suicide, and they weren't allowed to be buried in a Roman Catholic graveyard. If they were buried in that graveyard, they would have to be dug up, like it's saying here. So if anybody's been excommunicated for whatever reason, and in this case it happened to be suicide, they were not allowed to be buried in what they call sacred ground or whatever. All right, page 144, it says, "He who is without the church can neither be reconciled nor saved." Ratzinger echoed that, John Paul II echoed that, and Francis recently echoed it, but in his own gentle little way. And by the way, after going through all this and hearing about how evil and violent and vicious and torturous the leaders of the Roman Catholic Church still are, I like to echo that which John the Baptist said to the soldier who walked up to him in Luke chapter 3. He said in verse 14, "Do violence to no man." Hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.